80% of them are in this room. And these guys will do anything for me. I mean, if I need them, they're there, you know. And I think of all the things that we do together, you know. And it's that circle of men that keeps me sober on a daily basis, you know. We go to Bruins games. We have dinner at people's houses. We, you know, he helped me look for a deer the other night. I mean, I fish with a couple guys. I mean, all these things that I can do sober because I'm surrounded with guys in this group. And it's really saved my life. I was thinking about the fifth step today. You know, I think the most important thing that happened with me with that was it started with a sponsor. And, you know, I can say that this guy secured my confidence from day one. You know, I was kind of on the edge, you know, when we were talking about this stuff and doing this work. I'm like, yeah, I'll do a four step, but I don't know if I'm sharing this shit with anybody. And as time went on, you know, this guy showed up in my life at the worst times. You know, when my stepfather died, when my previous sponsor died. He was at the funerals, you know. When I was going through a divorce, he was there all the time. He, you know, he showed me what it was like to be part of. And, you know, I think the one that really pushed me over the edge was I hadn't seen my cousin since he was 4 years old. The family was completely dissolved by alcoholism. And I was sitting in a meeting in Brewster, and I'm talking to this guy. And I got a phone call from him and from my cousin, and he had a problem with drugs. And I had been about a year sober, and I told him what I did. So he ended up going to the same rehab. He was going to meetings in a different town. And I'm sitting next to this kid. I didn't even know who the fuck it was. It was my cousin. I had no idea what he even looked like. And we built a relationship from there. And about a year, he was sober about a year, and I was driving to my future wife's house. And I got a phone call from my sponsor, and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to Kim's. He goes, call me when you get there. I said, okay. Now, being a good alcoholic, I'm like, what the fuck did I do wrong now? This bastard's going to shit can me, you know. This is the shit that's going in my head. So I call him right back. I go, what the fuck is going on? He says, pull over. So I pulled over. He goes, take the keys out of the ignition. He goes, cousin just died on 495. And that was the first time anybody ever cared about me that much in my entire life. And I was like, right then I knew this was the guy that I was going to do that fifth step with. So I finished my work. It took about 9 months. I never went back and read it when I was done. I just wrote it. I remember I walked into the Hyannis meeting, and I said, I'm done. He goes, okay, I'll be at your house at 7:30 Saturday morning. And I was like, okay. And we talk about this. I can tell you exactly what he was wearing. I can remember that day like it was yesterday. You know, he had on a sweatsuit. He had two monster coffees in his hand. And he walked in, and my wife was there. She went out and did errands. And we sat down on the couch. We talked for a bit. He said, are you ready? I said, yep. We brought a chair out for God, and we prayed. And I remember we were praying for like 3 minutes, and he goes, are you all set? And I could have prayed for another 5 minutes, I'll tell you. Because I was loaded with fear. There was stuff in there. I was, you know, even though, you know, I'm a guy, I was leery of it, but I trusted this guy, but my pride and fear and all this shit was still going on in my head. So I started to read, and I probably had, I don't know, 3 or 4 pages of resentments against my father. He was like the seventh on my list. I remember the feeling I got when I got done with that, because I love that guy. He gave me a lot of gifts, but I fucking hated him. And I wanted to kill him, actually, up to that point for what he had done to our family. And it dawned on me during that fifth step that he was nothing more than a fucking drunk just like me. And that could have been me just as easily. And I found, actually, some forgiveness in that fifth step there for that. And so we read and read and read, and, you know, he didn't shut his eyes. He listened. He nodded. We talked about some things, whether if it was self-seeking or what it was. And I got to, like, I don't know, 102. And there was my father again with like 4 more fucking pages. And we were both like, whoa, I didn't even know I'd done that. You know, it was just something that had been gnawing at me the whole time. So I cried in part of it. We laughed our ass off. Some of it was kind of meaningless. But I remember when I was done, I felt I felt like I was a fraud because I was holding on to something, you know? And I wasn't even sure if it truly really happened. So when we were done, he gave me a hug, told me he loved me, and he asked me, what do you leave out? You know, this guy knew me pretty good, and I looked him right in the eye, and I said, nothing. He goes, are you sure? I said, yep. And he looked at me, he goes, okay, don't go out to dinner with your wife. Sit down and go over the first five bullets. I said, okay. He walked out the door. I went and got my wife, and I went out to fucking dinner because I had trouble with directions. But I did that because as he walked out the door, I just felt like, Jesus, I still can't be completely honest. I'm still so full of fear. I was holding on to this thing. So over the next 2 weeks, this fucking thing owned me. Owned me. It was my every thought for 2 weeks. And it wasn't fancied. It was the truth. It was something that I had buried, you know, when I was 10 years old. And I wasn't present for anybody that for 2 weeks. I mean, the guys that worked for me, work, anything. And my mind was on this thing. And I remember it was 2 weeks on a Saturday morning. I was like, I gotta finish this thing. And I grabbed him in a church at a meeting. We went up in the church, and I asked for a ton of help. And I finished it right there. And I told something that I'd never told anybody in my entire life, that I was disgraced by, I was hurt by, and it eat me up all that time. And I cried, you know? It was out. It was there, and it wasn't anything like I thought it would be. And then he shared something that was pretty similar that happened to him. And the next meeting here was on the sex part of the fifth step, and somebody shared all kinds of stuff, the same stuff, and I knew I wasn't alone. And that allowed me to move forward. You know, I sat down, I went over my work, and then there was nothing I left out, and I was able to move forward. But I think if I hadn't completed something that was eating me up like that, I don't know what would have happened, you know. I was, it was chewing me up. And right when I was done with that, he said, okay, start go fucking helping guys. And so that's what I did. And like I said, my life's not fucked anymore, you know. It's, I hate this saying, but I got a life second to none. And I hate that saying, but I really have a life that I certainly didn't think I was going to ever have. So, grateful for the guys in here, and thank you.
Okay, I'm going to, at this point, read me group conscience. If you have completed the fifth step, I would be able to balance on and have experience with the settings, and I would be encouraged to share.